Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Maximus. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Artificial intelligence is finding its way into agency missions across the government. That's especially true in the engineering and science domains. And for what's going on AI-wise in a corner of the energy research field, I spoke with a senior fellow in computational science and engineering at the National Energy Technology Laboratory, Kelly Rose.
NETL is part of the U.S. Department of Energy's national lab system. There are 17 national labs, but we each have slightly different areas that we focus on. We also collaborate quite a bit as well. So NETL specifically is focused on clean energy and energy resiliency related mission space specific to the Office of Fossil Energy Carbon Management. So we're working on problems and challenges as the people scientists as it relates to things like carbon management, the emerging hydrogen opportunities as a new energy resource, unconventional rare earth elements and critical mineral resources that may have greater opportunity for presence here domestically than those that have been conventionally extracted and are part of the world economy now. Looking to unpack and unlock the science and the engineering that it's going to take to find where those types of resources are and make them available for both our domestic stakeholders and the world. We also have a large portfolio of work that is focused on addressing the legacy of prior energy production, in particular from fossil energy systems, to deal with the environmental and potential reuse of those infrastructure elements and activities for the betterment of society as a whole.
All right. So that's a pretty broad portfolio. And by the way, I rode in a hydrogen powered car. There's not too many of them, but a friend of mine has one. And pretty cool if we can get the car, get more hydrogen out there. Anyhow, so it sounds like there's a lot of possible use cases to augment what the researchers are doing through AI. What are you exploring with AI?
There's a lot of things that we are exploring with artificial intelligence and machine learning both. There's a lot of exciting opportunity for AI and machine learning in the applied energy space, which is where our lab sits, as well as two of our sister labs, Idaho National Lab and the National Renewable Energy Lab, NREL, that have different, slightly different foci, but we tend to work on emerging technology innovations, again, to the application spaces that we already talked about, to realize new clean energy technologies. AI and machine learning poses a lot of opportunity. So we have quite a large portfolio of this type of work here at NETL already, aligning to the core competencies and application spaces that I enumerated, but in particular for things like advanced materials, innovating and identifying opportunities for materials to address infrastructure resiliency, new materials needs for things like carbon capture, and dealing with climate emission related activities. So understanding atmospheric modeling, understanding climate processes, understanding emission sources and how to mitigate those and predict them and prevent potential deleterious impacts from those types of things. There's opportunity for artificial intelligence and machine learning to play a role in any number of activities that we're involved in. We have a major effort that has been very productive in subsurface prediction. The subsurface is a complex system, but it's systematic. It's based on science. You know, we have hundreds of years of geoscientists of all different types studying subsurface systems. We can now take those types of studies and use AIML to fill in the gaps, make predictions where there may not be knowns or may not be data. But we are using the systematic knowledge from all those individual studies at scale to improve forecasting and understand opportunities for groundwater, for new resource discovery that applies to the hydrogen, for waste disposal, for things like carbon storage. We have to be able to understand and have assurance that our interactions with the subsurface are robust and that when we bring things to the surface and similarly have those types of interactions at the surface with complex multimodal systems, that we are doing things in a trustworthy, verified, but also highly scaled predictive manner. And that's the exciting thing about today is we have a lot of really great data and we have a lot of expertise about these systems. And when you combine that with the ability to scale with highly scalable computing systems and artificial intelligence and machine learning methods, which is basically like a big toolkit, you know, there's lots of different methods. You have to pick the right tool or series of tools. Sometimes it takes more than one to work in these complex systems. But that's the exciting part for our community here at NETL and for DOE is the ability to accelerate discovery and address questions, in particular for the fossil energy carbon management applied science and engineering space that we reside in.
It sounds like there is the case for traditional artificial intelligence, where you have an algorithm and a problem that would maybe extend what is now done in computer-aided modeling and that kind of thing. But also, if you are trying to get all of the collected wisdom of your scientists and maybe all their colleagues everywhere else, that's where the generative piece comes in, that you train with research data you already have. Would that be a fair way to look at it?
I think that's a very well-worded, well-phrased explanation. And generative AI is a really hot topic because it has, you know, hit the ground running not even a year ago and really has captured people's imagination because of the opportunities to employ it to help us discover more and at these scales, as you said. But it doesn't preclude, as you noted, the opportunity to also still do things at finer scales or in more targeted focused test scenarios and then take things up to scale, maybe with generative AI. But there's other types of artificial intelligence tools, neural networks, you know, and cluster analyses and things that our different researchers have expertise in, that when you combine them together, even with Gen AI, can really help understand these complex systems better, improve trust that the forecast and the analysis that's coming back makes sense and is validated, especially with these multimodal AI modeling, or sometimes it's not even just AI, it's traditional data science or computing methods to help verify that the AI results are confirmed through an alternative analytical approach. It's like looking at two different weather forecasts and saying, there's convergence in this forecast. I think I understand where I can trust the result. So yes, we're doing a lot of that type of work to help our communities and our stakeholders in all sorts of questions that they have or needs that they have for discovery innovation.
And how does an AI project get started? Because you need, I would think, a team. You have to have the person, the scientist,
yes,
the particular submission area expert. But then, you know, the word is you need to have a data scientist or a data person. You need the IT because they're the ones that are going to execute the technical processes. So how does one get started? Who suggests them? Who vets them? How does that work?
I love that you asked this question. It's something in various meetings and opportunities to meet with colleagues at other labs and other agencies in the last few months, it's really coming to the fore. This need to diversify teams and ensure that you have data experts, AI experts, data scientists, machine learning experts, or computational scientists involved in your projects with the subject matter experts for these types of applied complex system studies is really, really key. It's a shift, but it's something that the federal government as a whole has also recognized. OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, put out a guidance earlier this year encouraging the federal government to increase hiring of data scientists and more intentionality of inclusion, inclusivity, like you brought up. At NETL, we have an institute, the Science-Based AI/ML Institute, called SAMI for short, less of a mouthful, that is a little over 3 years old. And it was launched by our management 3 years ago with the recognition that this opportunity to be more tactical and strategic with our AI machine learning implementation, with our conventional research teams, science and engineering experts for material science, for CFD modeling, for advanced computing, for all sorts of applications, energy systems, analyses, the opportunity to integrate data science methods and potentially AI/ML and augment what those teams are already working on, but in a way that is appropriate and trustworthy, verifiable. It takes time. it takes time to build those teams up. So the SAMI Institute has been working on this in a cross-cutting supportive manner. It cross-cuts our existing research infrastructure here at NETL with our teams and directorates and everything as a way to help train, providing seminars, helping people learn, because there are so many tools in the AI data science machine learning toolkit, and it can get confusing or even overwhelming if you try to bite off everything all at once, and help the community learn from each other. Research teams that are already doing this type of activity, showing how they've gotten there. And we also have a tech team, a consulting advisory group within the Institute that research teams across the org can reach out to and say, hey, can we talk to you about how to get started? Or we're interested in this specific thing in the AI ML space. How would we responsibly pursue this? Does it make sense? And so they're sort of a technical advisory group, but not from a high strategic perspective, but from that more tactical, how do we get this involved in our research and help grow and evolve as a community? And so we're on this path as, here at NETL, and there's a number of really exciting examples of how that has been already paying off in benefiting researchers here at the lab and with our collaborators, industry regulators, and other R&D entities. But it's mirrored, it's exciting to see it mirrored with the guidance that's coming out with like the AI executive order and other guidance coming from the federal government on large, I guess, so.
Kelly Rose, Senior Fellow in Computational Science and Engineering at the National Energy Technology Laboratory. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
In today's federal government, security by design is key to achieving the highest levels of security compliance. From security consulting and architecture design to comprehensive managed services, Maximus delivers end-to-end protection of critical data, systems, and operations. We are a trusted cybersecurity partner, delivering cutting-edge solutions that enable government to securely operate in a digitally connected world, securing every aspect of your mission. Learn more at maximus.com/federal.
Welcome back to our interview with Kelly Rose, Senior Fellow in Computational Science and Engineering at the National Energy Technology Laboratory. Our topic is artificial intelligence and its use cases in the context of federal missions. And you mentioned some examples. Tell us about a couple of them.
So we have quite a bit of work that researchers here at the lab are involved in, as I mentioned, spanning the carbon management, resource, materials, infrastructure, and environmental resiliency spaces. One of the exciting examples is we have a really strong history at this lab in our computational science and engineering domain with a tool called MFIX. It's a multi-phase fluid flow model. It has been adopted and utilized worldwide. There's a large collaborative consortium that NETL has helped nurture from more conventional advanced computing, high-performance computing, HPCs kind of modes. But for the last 10 years, the researchers here at NETL have been integrating AI machine learning based methods into the capabilities of MFIX for applications like CFD modeling for powered plant generation optimization and forecasting and analysis of, you know, how to help conventional coal power plants convert to natural gas combustion, for example, or even convert to alternative, you know, energy uses. Eventually, they're starting to look at hydrogen. It's just coming onto the radar. But this evolution of existing infrastructure using AI and conventional advanced computing simulation methods and modeling to optimize, reduce climate emissions, improve performance, but also look at this transition where this infrastructure could be reused, repurposed in a way that's responsible and helps with environmental needs, but also energy consumption demand for the country at large. So they've been on this path. There's so many examples in their multi-phase flow modeling effort. The other piece of a specific example of what a subset of this group has been doing is they're actually looking at cutting-edge advanced AI computing and modeling to accelerate simulations. So actually the more fundamental computational modeling element, the actual computing effort itself, as supercomputers have continued to scale and grow bigger and bigger and bigger to keep up with this demand to scale compute, not just for AI, but for advanced simulation needs as well in the high-performance computing domain. There's only so much we can scale towards. It's putting demands on how these systems operate. It's putting demands on the energy consumption that they require to perform. And so there's a subset of the advanced computing world that has converged with the AI world and said, can we find solutions to optimize how these machines actually work and reduce this demand and improve efficiency and also accelerate AI computing innovation and discovery? And so we have a team, a sub-team here, who's been working collaboratively with the tech sector on this cutting-edge AI advanced computing solution using a wafer scale engine-based approach that can speed up the compute by 470 times over traditional high-performance computing and uses about three times less energy and produces three times less emissions
Sure.
as a result of that compute. They've been optimizing it for the MFIX codes to help demonstrate this and make it relevant to our applied energy space. But this is an example of that kind of continuum of where AI, advanced compute, optimization,
Sure.
energy, and climate resiliency all converge together under our mission umbrella.
And do you find across, again, this whole network of people doing this, that people are getting simply more assured confirmations of what they thought was the case? Or can sometimes the AI and ML, especially the AI, turn up answers they hadn't thought of, or maybe overturn some assumptions?
It's definitely both. There's some really exciting examples in the materials modeling domain in particular. Not just our lab, but our other labs and research entities have very successfully applied highly scaled AI machine learning methods for new materials discovery. In simplest terms, it's taking all those different data sets that exist as individual Lego blocks, if you want a metaphor. And these are, depending on what AI algorithm is being run, they can look for patterns in those Legos. Are they all the same color? Are they all the same size? Are they all the same shape? How do they bin? How much is there? And so there's a lot of AI methods that can do that kind of pattern detection and discovery at scale that a human individually, even with the traditional high-performance computing systems, is really not optimized to do. And being able to detect these patterns, it both plays to what you said. You can validate things, hypotheses. Science and research is about hypothesis. You have an idea, you want to go out and test it. So yes, you should go in with an idea of what to expect. But there are a number of examples where this type of AI-driven analysis, and not just in clusters, but neural nets is another one where this has been very effective, have identified things that people didn't know before, didn't expect. And that has led to new materials detection and new materials discovery, but also opportunities for new alloys, new types of materials that are based in the foundational lab and field-based analyses of existing materials, but are helping us extend what is possible and then take it back into the lab for testing, validation, and insurance that it's scalable, et cetera, for actual commercial purposes. So there's a whole loop there of discovery
Sure.
and opportunity at scale that is pretty exciting.
But we haven't yet discovered that cigarettes are really good for us and coal-fired plants are the way to go. That they haven't proved yet.
No,
All right.
I think that's a fair statement.
All right. And I wanted to ask about the general level of acceptance. I mean, I'm presuming everyone is on board with this. Do you ever get the occasional curmudgeon holding his HP 45 scientific calculator and saying, "No, I've got it. We don't need this."
There's all types of people in the world. And I think change, there's people that are always excited about change. There's people that are curious about change. And there's people that resist change because, you know, they don't understand it or they like the way things are. And so that's human nature, right? That's part of humanity. And so there are those folks that are skeptics, but they're important because sometimes they're asking questions that we, as researchers, we put ourselves out there for the Socratic method, right? Meaning we're up for scrutiny. It's, you know, we think we're doing good work, but you have to prove it. You have to be willing to say, does this make sense? Is this trustworthy? And not everyone's an expert in everything. And so the complexity of these AI data science subject matter driven teams is a new level of complexity that makes some folks uncomfortable, or they're asking questions that are fair. And they're coming from a domain expertise area, their own expertise, whatever it may be. And it's important to help them understand why results are robust, but hear their questions and make sure that they may be raising valid points. And I think with time, this is a transition. The whole world is going through this. AI keeps being kind of put up there as Harry Potter's magic wand. It's going to solve all the world's problems. It can answer questions magically. But it's a tool and it's a method. You know, it's method-based tools, basically. And using it appropriately, asking if the results make sense. Even the commercial tools are doing this now that you can get to through open source or, you know, commercially paid for services. They all bring back results. The Gen AI in particular models I'm thinking of that are pretty popular. They pretty much advise the consumer, validate the result, make sure this is a draft. You need to still do your own work. You need to go through this and make sure you're comfortable with it. You can refine on it. And that's basically how science and research operates. We refine on things and help improve the state of knowledge or state of technology, but we also are up for scrutiny. And as new information emerges or as new perspectives come into the play, you know, we can improve or we can help people understand why this is actually trustworthy. It takes a dialogue and it's iterative. And so it's not going to be perfect, but the ability to detect and innovate at scales we've never had the opportunity to do before, that's what's exciting. But it doesn't preclude anyone, the person sitting at their home machine or on their phone playing with working with a client, or, you know, a ChatGPT type client, or a researcher doing multi-scale advanced modeling. You still have to put yourself up for scrutiny and ask yourself, does this make sense? Do I need to ask an expert to validate and win confidence with the result?
Kelly Rose, Senior Fellow in Computational Science and Engineering at the National Energy Technology Laboratory. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Maximus on Federal News Network.
In today's federal government, security by design is key to achieving the highest levels of security compliance. From security consulting and architecture design to comprehensive managed services, Maximus delivers end-to-end protection of critical data, systems, and operations. We are a trusted cybersecurity partner, delivering cutting-edge solutions that enable government to securely operate in a digitally connected world, securing every aspect of your mission. Learn more at Maximus.com/federal.